that weekend. The whirring sound in my ears as my uncle shot him in the head, and the warm spray of blood against my face had filtered into the other memories and blurred them in red. But I did remember how much he worked. 3 jobs and longer hours than I had ever imagined was possible. Most of the time, I was alone in the apartment of his friend, who'd gone to jail for petty theft, while he went to work to support his mother and a younger sister still in high school. He wanted his sister to go to college, not to live the same life as him, working hours and hours and never making enough. For families out here, it was like a merry-go-round that could never be stopped. What I did remember was blood, lifeless eyes, and how passionately he spoke about his family. He would have done anything for them, and I couldn't sit by and do nothing when I had the means to help. She unzipped the money bag. Her purse dropped to the porch as a hand flew to cover her mouth. There was $50,000 cash in that bag. It was all I could get from the bank on such short notice, and even then, probably just because of my last name. It was still legally Abelli, and I wondered what they would have done for me if it were Russo. The rest of the money was via a cashier's check, and I was going out on a limb hoping she would cash it quickly. Nico could shut down my bank account fast, as well as get the transfer reversed if he claimed fraud, though that might take longer. First, she pulled out the ring, and I rubbed my bare finger before she put it back in the bag. Next was the note I'd written. My throat felt thick as she unfolded it. After a moment, her shoulders shook with sobs, and she slid downward to sit on the steps. A tear ran down my cheek, and I wiped it away. I didn't deserve to grieve with her. It had all been my fault. I'd known his name for months now. There was no getting past it when I had to research his death so I could find out his mother's information. But we had a deal. He wouldn't tell me his name until I told him mine. And as he wasn't alive to ever hear mine, I'd pretend to never know his. A few minutes later, she stood, wiped her cheeks, and went inside. Some pressure drifted away like a bird on my shoulder. I couldn't give her son back, but I could ease both her and her daughter's futures. Stop the merry-go-round so they could get off before it spun again for the rest of their neighborhood. Sebastian brushed a piece of lint off his suit.
That's it? I expected something more climactic.
I gave my head a shake, but I couldn't respond because my breath caught in my chest and my veins turned to ice.
Never mind. Here it comes, he said with a sigh.
Nico's car came to a stop in the middle of the street. He got out, slammed his door, and strode toward us with a blank mask. He was the Don now, but something all Nico flickered in his eyes, volatile depths that made my chest clench. Sebastian got to his feet.
Glad to see you finally showed up.
I cringed at his words. But before I could even blink, Nico reached Sebastian, pulled his gun out of the back of his waistband, and backhanded him with it so hard he fell back 2 steps. Sebastian froze with his head cocked to the side.
"You know," he said, wiping the blood off his lip with the back of his hand. "I'm taking this a little personally."
Calmly and without a word, Nico pointed his gun at Sebastian's head. My heart froze over, and I jumped to my feet and stood in front of him.
Nico, stop.
Get in the car, he said, keeping his gaze on Sebastian.
No, I breathed. This had nothing to do with him. His burning eyes finally met mine.
Did you let him in my club?
I blinked.
What? Did you let him into my goddamn club?
I took a step back and bumped into Sebastian. I'd never heard Nico so angry, and my heart tried to flee from my chest.
No, I stuttered. Why would I do that?
Awareness settled over me. He thought I was having an affair with Sebastian?
It's nothing like that at all, I swear. Please let me explain, I begged.
One glance toward the kids at the park showed they were all staring at us, wide-eyed.
Sebastian pushed me out of his way and stepped toward Nico until the barrel of his gun pressed against his forehead. All his playfulness disappeared. Nothing but darkness leaked into his gaze. "She wouldn't need any of your money to run away with me, Russo, nor to sit in some shitty-ass neighborhood for an hour." Lucas' car pulled up behind Nico's, and I said a quick prayer that he would talk some sense into Nico. My husband and Sebastian stared at each other. My blood drummed louder in my ears until it was all I could hear. "Nico!" His gaze coasted to me. It was cold enough to freeze me to my spot. "Get in the car. Please don't kill him." His jaw ticked. "If I have to say it again, he's dead." With nausea churning in my stomach, I walked toward his car. As I put my back toward them, a shiver ran down my spine, every nerve anticipating a gunshot to cut through the air. A few cars idled in the street, not being able to get past Nico's Audi, taking up both lanes. I climbed in and shut the door, closeting myself in the scent of leather and him. They exchanged more words, words that appeared to be calm and reasonable. Just as relief crept in, Nico backhanded him with his gun again. Annoyance flared in Sebastian's eyes as he spit out a mouthful of blood. Luca grabbed Sebastian's arm and pushed him toward his car. Nico walked across the street. He still wore jeans and a grease-stained white t-shirt. I wished he hadn't. I could deal with the Don in a black suit, but this Nico intimidated me. He had so much more to take away. He got in and shut the door. Thick tension rolled off him, sucking all the air out of the small space. His fist tightened and released before he put the car in drive and headed down the street. The atmosphere was hostile. One tiny spark and it would explode. It took 5 minutes to gain the courage to say anything. "Nico, don't say another fucking word to me right now, Elena," he snapped. Something grabbed my heart and ripped it into two pieces. After what I had done, I didn't have it in me to defy him. Nothing but tire noise, the outside sounds of the city, and my painful heartbeats filled the car. All I wanted was to go home, press my face into his chest, and apologize. To promise I would never keep anything from him ever again. My papa kept his bank information locked in a safe, not even Tony had the code to. And then Nico's had been lying there on the counter. It was too tempting. Maybe my only chance. Men like him were all supposed to be the same. Stealing from Nico should have been like stealing from my papa, but it didn't feel that way. It felt like the worst sort of betrayal. We weren't going home. I didn't dare say a word, but as the awareness settled in of where we were headed, a hollow ache in my chest grew emptier every mile. He parked, and I got out of the car and followed him. I stood side by side with him in the elevator, but he'd yet to even look at me. A ping sounded, and the doors opened to the penthouse apartment. Every shallow breath hurt. A dark-haired man in a suit stood in the small hallway. I vaguely recognized him, but couldn't put a name to the face. He gave my husband a small nod. Nico unlocked the door and flicked on the lights. Numbly, I stepped inside behind him. He stood by the open door, his gaze focused above my head. "James will be outside. He has a phone you can use if you need anything." His voice was cold and distant. I wanted to say something, anything, so he would look at me. "I want my own phone." His volatile eyes finally came to me. I ached for him to touch me, for the roughness of his hands on my face, his deep voice in my ear.
"You had a phone. You chose not to use it."
"I will now," was all I could think to say. His jaw tightened.
"I'll have one brought to you then."
He'll have one brought to me. He was done with me then? He hadn't even let me explain. Maybe he didn't care. I stole from him, and that he couldn't forgive. My eyes burned and I blinked to keep the tears at bay. Thank you. His bitter laugh was quiet, a small shake of his head.
Luca will bring your bag by soon, he said, turning to leave.
Nico! He stopped with his back to me, his shoulders tensing. I'm sorry, I breathed.
A few seconds passed, and when I thought he might respond, he walked out and shut the door behind him.
I stared blankly until the numbness turned into despair that scratched at my chest, stole my breath, and bubbled up my throat in sobs. Chapter 49. So the lover must struggle for words. T.S. Eliot. Elena. My heartbeats shattered one by one, sending a raw ache through my chest. My vision blurred behind tears and the shimmer of the sun on the marble floors. Once the crying began, it flowed like I'd just opened a dam that had been closed off for years. I stood in the middle of a beautiful apartment and felt nothing but cold and empty. The emptiness expanded until it threatened to eat me alive. How fitting my belief had been that Nico was an addiction. Because this felt like the worst sort of withdrawal. I was beginning to realize it was more than that, it was love, and this was heartbreak. I went to the master bathroom, turned on the shower, climbed in, and cried some more. My mind spun with desperate thoughts of how to fix this, but they all ended on a hopeless note when I thought of his coldness today. Nausea rolled in my stomach. I'd tried not to fall in love with him, and I'd fallen so hard, I was physically sick at his rejection. I could have laughed if I'd had any energy left over after crying. I got out of the shower, wrapped myself in a towel, and walked into the bedroom. My bag lay next to the door, and my heart clenched at the sight. A weak sense of vulnerability coasted through me at the thought of Luca hearing me cry. Any other day, it would have been humiliating. But as a numbness settled in, the thought drifted away. Instead of wearing something of mine, I found one of Nico's plain t-shirts in the dresser and slipped it on. He could be done with me, but I wasn't ready yet. I missed him already, with a physical sense of loss that ached. It was still midday when I climbed into bed. It felt too large without Nico. I'd been sleeping with him for a week, and now there was a big void on the mattress where he should be. I wondered if he would let some other woman sleep in his bed. My chest tightened and burned at the thought. I hated any woman who got to touch him, to hear his voice in her ear, and have his full attention. I hated her so much, and she wasn't even real yet. If anything, I now understood why women stuck by the men in this world, no matter what they did or said. Love? Why couldn't it work both ways? I lay there and watched the sun drift behind the horizon until I finally fell asleep. Red and yellow lights blurred through the floor-to-ceiling windows and into the dark room. I blinked at the alarm clock that read 1 a.m. and then rolled onto my back. Fear hit me in the chest, but it was quickly replaced with a relief so strong I felt breathless. He sat on the side of the bed with his back toward me, his elbows on his knees, and his gaze out the window. From his mere presence, my heart began to sew itself back together. I knew the stitches would tear once he walked away from me again.
"Start at the beginning," he rasped.
Every cell in my body filled with desperation, longing, and hope. I sat up. "Of today or
last winter? When you ran?"
Inhaling a shaky breath, I began to tell him about how and why I left. Everything from Oscar to the carousel to him. How I met him. How I had to watch my uncle kill him and, wanting to get everything out in the open, that I slept with him. His shoulders tensed.
"You realize you gave him something that belongs to me, don't you?"
I opened my mouth and closed it. How very Nico-like to claim ownership of my body before he'd even met me.
How many? He asked.
How many what?
Men, he growled.
I wanted to say, you first, for the sake of pointing out a double standard, but truthfully, there wasn't even a tiny part of me that wanted to know how many women he'd been with.
I pulled at a loose thread on the comforter.
Two, I whispered. You and him.
I haven't even kissed another man, I swear it.
A stillness settled over the room as I listened to my hopeful heartbeats, and he stared straight ahead. He still wore the same clothes from earlier, and I wondered what he'd done today, who he was with, and if he'd thought of me at all.
Tell me why you were with Sebastian, he said.
I ran into him at the bank. I told him not to follow me, but he's persistent.
He's a fucking idiot, was what Nico muttered.
Is present tense, meaning he was currently alive. Relief filled me. I could see the lightest reflection of him in the window, smeared with yellow city lights. He glanced at his hands, asking,
did you love him?
His tone was indifferent, but a hint of something raw bled through. I knew he was no longer speaking of Sebastian.
No, I said. I hardly even knew him.
He let out a dry breath, running a hand through his hair and down the back of his neck, before giving his head a shake.
Your sister seemed to be under a different impression.
I closed my eyes when I remembered our last conversation and her, uh-oh. After sawing my bottom lip between my teeth for a moment, I said, Adriana assumed. Nothing more. Sirens echoed up the walls of the building as silence swept back in. A heavy tension lay beneath.
The ring, he asked.
I wore it because I felt guilty. Not because I loved him.
War.
I gave it to his mother today, I added softly. I'll get a job and pay you back.
You think this is about the fucking money?
Isn't it? I remained silent. His gaze found mine in the reflection of the glass.
Do you know how many men would want to hurt you to hurt me?
I wasn't sure how to fix what I'd done. What to say to make him forgive me. All of it sounded so hollow in my head. A part of me believed I didn't even deserve his forgiveness. I glanced at my fingers as they pulled at the thread. I'm sorry.
Fuck. Elena, it's not that easy.
He shook his head in disgust, and my stomach twisted. He hated me. I loved him, and he hated me. The backs of my eyes burned, and a tear ran down my cheek.
If you're so disgusted by me, then why are you here?
It was quiet, and then a shift in the air told me he was going to stand. Something pitched in my chest, and my visceral reaction was to lean forward and grab his arm. He couldn't leave. The thought sent the stitches in my heart ripping apart one by one. He tensed, but didn't get up. I inched my way closer until I sat behind him on my knees. My skin sang under the weight of his presence and warmth. Sliding a hand from his arm to his waist, I kissed the back of his neck.
Please don't go,
I whispered. A chill rolled through his body.
There was never another man since we met.
I pressed my forehead to his neck.
No one but you.
He grabbed my hand on his waist, pulling me around him and off the bed. Our gazes clashed like a shot to my chest. It was so intense. I kneeled between his legs so I didn't burn under the closeness of his stare. His thumb ran down my lips.
Why keep your mouth from me then?
I averted my gaze, not being able to say this as I looked him in the eyes.
Men like you break a woman's heart.
I didn't want to love you. His deep voice filled my ears.
Did it work?
My heartbeat drummed.
No,
I breathed. A quiet noise crawled up his throat, a mixture of satisfaction and anger. He brushed a palm across my cheek, and my head lolled to the side as warmth fired in every synapse.
Look at me.
My gaze flicked to his that burned dark and hot.
You fucking lied to my face.
I nodded, remembering my promise not to leave without talking to him.
You didn't take your phone.
I nodded again. His palm ran down to my throat.
You stole from me.
I swallowed under his hand. His grip tightened and he pulled me to my feet. We were eye to eye now, and a shiver coasted through me. His lips brushed mine.
I felt fucking crazy wondering where you were.
He bit out. I nodded again.
You don't know, he growled. I can't stay away from you for more than a fucking day. And you can run off without a second thought.
I shook my head, but his grip slid to my chin and stopped me.
You don't know.
He pressed his lips to mine, softly, confusing my senses with how volatile his mood was. He deepened the kiss, and I melted like butter, my heart glowing and mending itself back together. I moaned when his tongue slid into my mouth, my hands resting on each side of his face. His palms skimmed up the backs of my thighs and stilled when they met my bare ass cheeks. He slowed the kiss, pulling back to look at me in his shirt. His gaze sparked.
Take it off.
My skin burned as I grabbed the hem of his shirt and pulled it over my head. I stood there, naked and breathless. He lifted my breast to his mouth and sucked on the nipple. I yelped when he bit down.
Fuck. I'm still so pissed at you, baby.
But you won't leave me here?
No, he rasped. I can't fuck you way over here.
He cupped me between the legs, sliding two fingers inside of me. Relief and a spike of heat ran through my veins. He kissed me, and this time it was laced with every ounce of his anger, deep and rough and consuming. Reality faded away to nothing but him, his heat, scent, and my eager heart feeling whole again with every touch of his hands. The kiss burned into madness, a breathless, greedy sort of madness. His hand fisted in my hair, his lips and teeth trailing down my neck. I ran my arms around his shoulders, pressing my body against his. He stood, lifted me, and dropped me on the bed. His heavy weight settled on top of me, and I released a sigh. With his mouth on mine, he lifted my thigh and pressed his erection between my legs. Sparks fluttered through me before dissolving and eliciting a need for more. I tugged at his shirt, and he pulled back to take it off. He nipped at my breasts and stomach as his mouth drifted downward. Something in my subconscious tickled. Wait. I breathed, blinking to clear the lust-filled haze in my mind. Nico's hands tightened on my legs as he kissed the inside of my thigh and then the other. Before he could get to where he was heading and I lost all train of thought, I blurted, "Platonic." He tensed, but stopped, his gaze hot with lust and frustration. I swallowed. I don't want to do this if there are going to be other women, Nico. I can't. He watched me for 2 tense seconds.
You're enough for me.
My heart grew. I suddenly realized that even if I'd heard those words from him at the beginning, I wouldn't have believed them. However, now, an unexplainable feeling told me his words rang true. He pressed his face between my legs, and I burned with bliss. I kissed him for hours, fucked him until I was sore, and there was a reminder of him inside me. He was still mad at me. I felt it with each nip of his teeth, each smack on my ass, and everything I'd had to promise to get my orgasm. Not to endanger myself by leaving the house alone, to take my phone everywhere or else he'd glue it to my hand, to not fucking steal from him, and to always wear his t-shirts around the house and nothing else. It wasn't an unreasonable list, I had to admit, though I did believe the last one was selfishly motivated. I promised him everything because of 4 words. You're enough for me. The metronome in my chest pulsed to a different rhythm, one of sleepless nights, rough hands, and white t-shirts. I lay my head on his chest and listened to his heartbeat, how strong it was. how in sync it was with mine. Regardless of what I was born into, I'd always thought of myself as a moral and honest person. Maybe my roots were too deep. Or maybe love gave a woman a reason to let her dark colors shine. Because I suddenly knew I would lie, cheat, and steal for this man. I would burn the world for him. He was king of the Cosa Nostra. And he was all mine.
Chapter 50. If you are not too long, I will wait here for you all my life. Oscar Wilde. Nico. I blinked against the sunlight streaming through the windows like heaven was descending upon us, and I realized why I'd always hated staying at the penthouse. No fucking curtains. Reaching toward the other side of the bed and feeling nothing but sheets, something jackknifed in my chest. The clanking of pots and pans from the kitchen sent an instant rush of relief through me. I ran a hand down my face. Jesus, I'd wanted a wife, and I got a damn heart attack waiting to happen. After leaving her here yesterday, I'd gone to my club with every intention of shooting Sebastian Perez in the head, regardless of if he touched Elena or not. He was in possession of my wife, and he hadn't contacted me. I'd been out of my mind, while he sat his ass on a park bench beside her and chatted the hour away. I didn't know what stopped me from sending his body back to Colombia in a box. Well, I guess I did. Sebastian was a smooth talker, and I admired how well he could dig his way out of shit. He'd kept her safe while she went on some mission in fucking East Tremont. If I would have stopped her before she could go through with her plan, that ring would still be on her finger. I'd still believe she was in love with another man, and she'd still be harboring secrets until she felt her conscience was clean. I got up, took a piss, and slipped on a pair of boxer briefs before going to see what my thieving wife was doing. The news played quietly in the living room while she stood in front of the stove wearing one of my t-shirts that stopped at the bottom of her ass. Her messy black hair trailed down her back, and for fuck's sake, my chest grew all warm at the sight. I walked up behind her and slid a palm beneath the hem of her shirt. She yelped, throwing a hand on her chest. Oh my God, Nico, you scared me. Good. Maybe she felt an ounce of what I did yesterday. I rubbed her bare ass cheek before pulling her against me and looking over her shoulder. What are you doing? Trying to make you breakfast? I eyed the burnt eggs in the pan. Not going so well, huh? No, she sighed. I chuckled. You're a bad cook, baby. She got distracted too easily, by anything and everything. The TV, reading, eating cereal, painting her nails. She had the attention span of a kid. If you want it done right, you have to stand by the stove until it's finished. I did this time, I swear, she insisted. But then Mama called your cell phone, so I answered, and she was going on and on about being worried sick because my phone wasn't working. I told her it must have died or something. Yeah, didn't really care to share that it was currently lying in pieces on my living room floor. In fact, we were staying here until Luca had someone to go clean the mess up, so Elena wouldn't know I'd lost my goddamn mind and destroyed the house. And because she reminded me she'd made me act like a lunatic again, I slapped her ass hard. Ow, she exclaimed. What was that for? Stealing from me? Lying to me? Pick one. She went still, her guilt-ridden thoughts swirling in the air around us. I sighed, turned her around, and pressed her face into my chest. She wrapped her arms around me, and satisfaction hummed in my throat. Maybe I shouldn't have trusted a thing she'd told me last night. But I did. I thought she was difficult to read before, but that might be because I found it hard to focus on her face. Now, I could see her thoughts leak into her soft brown eyes and hear them in her voice. She had a long way to go to be a Russo, but hell, I'd walk with her the whole way.
Elena. A sharp sting on my butt cheek caused me to spin around, narrow my eyes, and rub the sore spot. Nico glared at me with a towel in hand that he'd just used as a whip. He only wore a pair of black boxer briefs, and his hair was still wet from our shower.
Explain what's happening tonight again.
I rolled my eyes like I was put out. But in reality, I had to bite my cheek to hold in a smile as I turned to walk into the bedroom. Male strippers. You know, men who dance while taking their clothes off? Nico and I had spent another night at the penthouse, though I would rather go home. I stayed entertained by smothering myself with him day and night, so I guessed it didn't matter where we were, as long as he was near. I'd gotten a call from my mama at 8 a.m. Nico handed me his phone and fell back asleep, while I chatted about my bachelorette party tonight, hence him snapping my ass with a towel. I headed to my bag that sat on the dresser and dug through it for some clothes before he could welt my bearskin again. He walked up behind me.
There's not a chance some man's putting his hands all over you, Elena.
I turned, my lips pulling into a frown. Do strippers touch?
It's called a fucking lap dance, baby, he growled.
Oh, I said nonchalantly and turned back around. Good to know.
Good to know why.
I'll have to shave. That comment got me tossed on the bed, and I was laughing before I hit the mattress.
Who the hell thought it was okay for you to have strippers at your party?
He said, exasperated. God, you're crazy. I was just messing with you. We're going to a burlesque show. I sighed, leaning back on my arms. You're no fun to play with. He stood at the end of the bed with narrowed eyes.
Am I supposed to find other men touching you funny?
Something vulnerable climbed up my throat. You're full of double standards, Nico. I know you're going to a strip club tonight, and I know how happy everyone will be to chip in for all your lap dances. I knew there was no way to keep this man out of a strip club. I was sure he owned one or several, but the idea of some woman with her hands on him made me feel sick.
How do you know where I'm going? I haven't even heard about it.
Benito told my mama.
Benito, he grimaced. How would that asshole know?
How could he not like my cousin? Everyone liked Benito.
What else would you do, Nico?
A strip club was the tamest thing possible for a made man's bachelor party. One of my older cousins had gotten married last year and there were hookers rented out for the night. I only knew that because Benito texted me to ask how to know a woman wanted him if she'd already been paid to sleep with him.
I'd rather call the whole thing off. I don't like dropping you off at your parents.
Why?
I don't trust your papa.
He's your father-in-law now, Nico. You'll have to learn how to get along.
He let out a breath of amusement, running his hand through his hair.
I seem to be getting a whole lot of baggage with you, woman.
I frowned. His heavy gaze burned mine.
Nobody touches you, Elena, no matter what you do tonight. Do you understand me?
Nobody touches you, I shot back.
We stared at each other for a moment. The realization of how deep in we both were swept into the room. Amusing as we were married, but also thrilling in its possessiveness and need. He was mine, and nobody else could have him.
Sounds like we've got a deal, he drawled,
before yanking me closer by the ankle and climbing on top of me. Happiness filled my chest like a balloon, and I wondered if you could love someone so much, you'd burst. Nico's car had been idling in front of my parents' place for a solid 2 minutes now, while he sat in the driver's seat, tense and silent. I reached for my door handle, but he pressed the lock button before I could open it.
Nico, we can't sit in here forever, I sighed.
His gaze met mine.
Screw the parties. Let's go home. I'll fuck you nice and slow all night long.
Amusement bubbled up my throat. You have a romantic way with words. He ran a hand across his mouth.
Who did you say was taking you?
Dominic, and the two men you're secretly putting outside the club. A small smile pulled on his lips.
You're nosy.
You talk loudly on the phone.
You got money?
Yes.
Your cell phone?
Yes, I said, though I don't know why I needed a new one. He lifted his shoulder. Maybe it had been easier to buy a new one than to go home and get mine. We hadn't been back to the house today, having stayed at the penthouse until now. I still had to find something to wear tonight, though most of my clothes were here at my parents' anyway. Benito came out to stand on the porch, and Nico's eyes narrowed on him.
You gonna break the news that we're married?
Yes. I'll make sure everyone knows I'm legally bound to Nicolas Russo. His amused gaze came my way.
Never thought my wife would have such a smart mouth.
Is it disappointing? His hand slid around the back of my neck and pulled my face to his.
There could be worse things.
He kissed me deep and slow.
You gonna have a fun time tonight?
Maybe, I whispered against his lips. But I'll be missing you more.
Damn,
he drawled.
You're sweet when you aren't stealing from me.
I flushed. Are you gonna let me get a job and pay you back? He laughed.
Do you know how much you stole? It would take you 20 years at best.
Well, I'm not going anywhere, am I? His gaze burned.
No. I think I'll keep you.
Nico, I swallowed. I really am sorry about the money.
Don't be. I'm impressed,
he said, amusement coating his voice.
There might be a little Russo in you yet.
I knocked softly on the doorframe and cleared my throat. Hi, Papa. He glanced up from the paperwork on his desk with an unreadable expression.
I hear you've gotten married.
Everyone on the block must have heard it with how loud Mama had screeched when she saw my ring. It wasn't an ecstatic screech either, more like a horrified acquiescence. I shifted in the doorway. Yes.
He didn't ask me if he could push the wedding up.
Papa grunted. You didn't ask me before selling me to Oscar Perez. My heart raced once the heated words passed my lips. I didn't believe I'd ever have the courage to talk back to my father, no matter what he said or did. His jaw ticked, but he only shuffled through some papers.
I didn't sell you. You know how this life works, Elena. If you lived on the outside and got to make all your own decisions, you'd never last. They'd chew a girl like you up and spit you out. I was trying to protect you.
My father's vision for my happiness and well-being were so skewed. I knew we'd never agree on a thing. So, as asinine as I believed his beliefs were, I dropped it. I don't want there to be issues between you and my husband. He scoffed. Why do you dislike him? I sighed.
He's a hothead and a cheat.
I opened my mouth to disagree, but then closed it. It was a little hard to dispute.
He sees something he wants and he takes it, just like his papa. I fucking knew I shouldn't have let him see you until he married your sister.
Why did you tell him I was unfit for marriage?
Because he doesn't deserve you.
Papa slammed a hand on his desk.
Oscar understood how you are. He would have made you a good husband.
I laughed with bitterness. How I am? Do you think I'm made of glass, Papa? You don't even know who I am because you haven't spent one day getting to know me since I turned 10. He gave his head a shake. My throat felt tight. Firstly, you've been misinformed about the kind of person Oscar was. Look into him a little deeper and think for a moment that you almost sold me to him. And secondly, regardless of your reservations about Nico, I've known him for a short amount of time, and yet he knows me better than anyone else. He's my husband, Papa. And he's come to mean something to me, whether you like it or not. I swallowed. If you care about me at all, you'll be civil with him. After a moment of silence, I turned to leave, but then paused at his voice.
Even though you can't see it sometimes, I love you, Elena, and I want the best for you. You'll come to me if he's ever bad to you.
I nodded, though I knew it would never come to that. For the first time in my life, I felt free to be me, to curse if I wanted, to keep my smiles for those who deserve them, to be bad at something, to fall in love. Nico didn't treat me like glass. He shattered the reflection of an empty life staring back at me. He taught me how to soar. Chapter 51. A woman should be pink and cuddly for a man. Jane Mansfield. Elena.
Sophia, a niece!
Mama scolded as a half-dressed male dancer humped a woman on stage who turned toward the audience, put a hand toward her mouth, and gasped.
I thought this was a family show!
Sophia laughed, tossing her hair over her shoulder.
Elena is getting married. Who wants to see a family show?
Mama had put Sophia in charge of choosing the club and performance, and she had expected something PG.
I love it, Gianna exclaimed. It's been so long since I've been to a burlesque show.
When we arrived, it was to find Gianna standing outside the club, chatting with the bouncer like she'd known him all her life. Turned out she'd met him 3 minutes prior. Poor guy probably thought he was getting laid tonight when really, Gianna was bubbly to everyone. Well, besides the FBI agent, anyway. Our table was full, but it felt empty without Adriana and Nonna. My sister had severe morning sickness. Nonna said she was sick as a dog and that she had it coming to her for getting knocked up out of wedlock. She also said she had to stay home and make sure Adriana was okay. But really, I thought it was just an excuse so she could maintain her 8 p.m. bedtime. The lights sparkled, my cheeks were warm, and my chest felt light, as if it were full of happiness about to escape. I stood and announced, I need to use the restroom.
Well, go then, Mama said. You don't have to tell the whole room.
I laughed. Mama rolled her eyes.
Mamma mia.
Dominic's gaze narrowed on me from where he stood leaning against the wall with his arms crossed. He looked sharp in his suit and as broody as usual.
I'll go with you. Gianna got to her feet. She wore ballet pink velvet pumps I couldn't help but envy.
No, 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 Sophia said. You can't break the seal already. The night just started.
What do you know about breaking the seal, Miss 19-year-old?
Mama muttered as Gianna and I walked toward the bathroom. That's a myth, you know, breaking the seal. Gianna linked her arm with mine. Apparently, it's all in our heads.
I wouldn't know either way, I admitted. I'm not a big drinker.
Really?
I guess you and Ace are perfect for each other then, aren't you?
My brows pulled together.
But Nico's always drinking.
Yes, she laughed, nudging my shoulder with hers. But never excessively. The last time I saw him drunk was 6 years ago, and I'm positive it was only more incentive for sobriety.
Why?
Well, she sighed. Maybe that's something Ace should tell you. You slept with my husband, didn't you? In my inebriated state, the invasive question slipped from my lips. An awkward laugh escaped her.
Well, it's out in the open, isn't it?
It was one time, and we were both so drunk, neither of us even remembers it. Maybe it was because I was a few drinks in, or maybe it was because I had already assumed it to be true, but I wasn't that upset. I knew Nico was far from a virgin, and I wasn't sure I wanted one of those anyway. He wouldn't be the same man he was now. We did our business in the bathroom and then stood side by side at the sink, washing our hands.
So you're married, huh? I asked.
She rolled her eyes with a sigh.
Don't remind me.
I'm sorry to hear it isn't a marriage of love. She leaned toward the mirror, applying a fresh coat of cherry red lipstick.
Don't be. It was my choice.
Really?
Yep.
Popped from her lips as she pressed them together to spread the lipstick evenly.
I married Antonio when I was 20. He died 3 years later, after I got into a little trouble with the law.
Nico gave me a choice to go home to Chicago or marry again. She held out her lipstick to me, and I had a refusal on my tongue, but why the hell not? Elena Abelli never wore anything so bold. But I was Elena Russo now. I took it from her and began applying a liberal coat.
So you chose to marry?
Yes. She grabbed my left hand to look at my ring in the light. That was a no-brainer. Apparently, her home life wasn't that great.
You're going to think I'm horrible.
But I chose the oldest candidate available for obvious reasons.
I don't think you're horrible at all.
It was the truth. I wouldn't have the courage to marry a man three times my age. I couldn't even imagine the wedding night without my skin crawling. "Nico won't make you marry again?" I asked. Her eyes narrowed, and she dropped my hand. "No." Well, well, there was some passion beneath the bubbly persona. I handed her the lipstick and pressed my lips together while observing my new look in the mirror. My eyes had a haze over them, the alcohol seeping through my bloodstream and lightening my tongue. "He promised me fidelity," I announced, the words rolling off drunken lips. I had no idea why I'd shared it, but there was something liberating about opening up to another woman in a bathroom. This was what girls did, and it was the first time I was a part of it. Her dark eyes filled with sympathy. "You poor thing, you. Looks like you're stuck with him for good. Ace might be a cheat at heart, but he always does exactly what he says he's going to do." "How old is your cousin again?" Gianna's voice was loud enough it echoed across the street. Dominic flicked a glance to us, and I honest to God giggled. "He's too young for you. You're like 10 years older than him." Gianna frowned, leaning against the brick wall for balance. "He's 18? He doesn't look 18. No, 20. I zigzagged over to her, and when I managed to bump into her shoulder, I stayed there. "He's hot." Dominic stood at the curb, pretending to be texting and not listening to our conversation. "Eh, he's okay," I said. His lips tipped up. Benito had picked up Mama and the others a couple minutes ago, but Dominic stayed to wait for my husband to get me. Nico had texted me three times tonight, and I managed to reply each and every time. I deserved a medal. "Are you having fun?" "Yes." "Are you ready to go?" "No." "How drunk are you?" "So much." A couple of minutes later, when I noticed Nico get out of his car on the street, my drunk heartbeat skipped with satisfaction. Though I stayed exactly where I stood, or leaned, because these 3-inch heels didn't pair well with more than 3 drinks. And I'd lost count since that number. Nico's eyes narrowed slightly when he saw Gianna and me leaning against the wall and each other, as if we offered a little better support than just the brick. He stopped in front of us with his hands in his pockets. "You're drunk as shit." I nodded slowly. Amusement ghosted through his eyes as he ran a thumb across his bottom lip. "Can you walk?" I nodded again, but didn't move. If I did, I thought Gianna might fall over. His gaze coasted to her, before he turned and spoke to Dominic for a moment. My cousin slipped his phone in his pocket and gave Nico eye contact. What did I need to do to get that kind of attention from him? I stared at my husband while he talked to Dominic. He was so handsome. Something touched me in the chest. "Come on." Nico grabbed my hand. "Let's go home."
"But Gianna!"
"Dominic's taking care of her."
"Oh,
I drank so much tonight," Nico laughed.
"Yeah?
But I loved it," I blurted. "I had so much fun." Nico opened my door and I dropped into my seat. He lowered to his hunches beside me and buckled me up.
"You've been hanging out with Gianna?"
"Yes." His eyes narrowed.
"No drugs, Elena."
"Yes, sir," I laughed.
"I'm serious."
Something sober settled in me when I remembered his mamma. "No drugs," I said.
"Promise me."
"I promise, Ace." His lips tipped up.
"Ace, huh?"
I nodded lazily. "I'm trying it out." And from that moment on, I called him Ace whenever I was drunk, Nicolas when I was mad, and Nico all the times in between. He ran a thumb across my cheek.
"Are you gonna puke in my car?"
I wrinkled my nose. "Why would I puke? I feel great." He made an amused noise.
"Fuck, this will be fun."
He shut my door and I watched him through the windshield as he walked around the car. He looked like a don tonight, and I was dying to take him home and rip off his clothes to humanize him a bit. My head rolled against the headrest to look at him once he was in the driver's seat. "How are you so handsome?" He chuckled.
"God's gift, I guess."
He gripped my cheek and pressed a deep kiss on my lips that made me melt into my seat. I fell asleep somewhere between the club and home. But I made it all the way to the toilet to puke. Chapter 52. Love is a strange dark magic. Atticus. Elena. Sunlight shone through the high windows of the church's bridal suite, lighting dust particles in the air like tiny flickers of gold. Nausea swirled in my belly, and I pressed a hand to my stomach and tried to breathe through it. I swayed as Mama tugged at my laces. You've got to suck in, Elena! I've barely begun tightening it up. Que vale. It felt like she was squeezing the life out of me. For goodness sake, Celia, she can't suck in her boobs, Nona commented from her seat in the corner. She had a Vanity Fair magazine in one hand and a cup of coffee in the other. It's her backside I'm having trouble with. The laces are going to be gaping at the seams if I can't cinch them in any tighter. And they wonder how I could ever be depressed. With another jerk on my laces, I breathed, oh God, and covered my mouth as nausea traveled up my throat. Quick, Adriana, the waste bin, Nona exclaimed. My sister hopped from her chair, and I met her halfway across the room before throwing up my breakfast of coffee and toast in the small trash can. Que schifo, Mama grimaced. Adriana rubbed my back. She wore a pink off-the-shoulder bridesmaid's dress, and her hair and makeup were done. My cousins were still in the room across the hall, finishing with theirs. Welcome to the club, she muttered. I puked 3 times this morning. I already knew because I'd heard her through the bathroom door. I'd stayed at my parents' last night for formality's sake. Nico wasn't happy about it, but I only got one wedding, and I wanted to keep the tradition of being separated the night before, regardless that we were already married. I'd kissed him in his car for 10 minutes when he dropped me off. It was only one night apart, but something tugged deep in my chest as I walked away from him. I'd always imagined love as a concept, a genuine smile, a couple holding hands, a life partner. Now I knew it was more dimensional, a maddening, possessive, and overwhelming presence that bloomed in your chest, with the power to make you feel so alive or shatter you to pieces. Nonna fanned her face with the magazine. Another daughter of yours, Celia, who got what was coming to her. You girls think you can go out and fornicate with the world and there won't be any repercussions. Adriana rolled her eyes and sat down, her engagement ring sparkling in the light. She was marrying her gardener, she told me last night. Her ring was almost bigger than mine, and I knew Ryan couldn't have afforded it. Most likely, my papa bought it and gave Ryan a certain amount of time to propose. Whether Ryan liked it or not, he was now in this world for good. I grabbed my glass of water from the table and pressed it against my cheek. I'm not pregnant, Nona. I'm just nervous. Why? She frowned. You're already married. Maybe so, but this was my wedding. The day I'd secretly dreamed about with wide-eyed wonder since I was 5. I just want everything to be perfect. It will be, Mama assured. But take that glass from your face. You're ruining your makeup. She slapped my hand, and with a jerk of alarm, the glass fell from my fingers and shattered on the floor. Mama, I scolded, my heartbeat racing. You could have soaked my dress. She covered her mouth and then laughed. Nonna chuckled from her spot in the corner. Adriana's eyes widened, but amusement poured from her lips. Really? I said. Am I the only adult in here? They laughed harder. I held in my smile because I wasn't going to encourage them. Heading to the sink, I brushed my teeth for the 3rd time and then paced around the room, feeling caged. It was so warm in here. Heat crawled beneath my skin, and with the 5-foot train pinned up, my dress felt like it weighed 20 pounds. Gosh, it's hot, I complained. Mama, take this dress off. I gotta go outside and get some air. No! Mama shouted. Nonna's gaze narrowed at her, and my senses were immediately on alert. I eyed the both of them. What's wrong? Nothing, cara mia, Nona waved a hand. But you can't go out. Your hair and makeup's all done. We don't want your husband to see. He won't care.
You've already gone and ruined your engagement by rolling around in the hay with him how many times and then eloping for goodness sake. Now listen to me. You don't want to jinx your marriage.
I wasn't a superstitious person, but I didn't want to argue with them about it. Besides, the room dimmed as clouds began to overcast the sky.
It's gonna rain, isn't it? I sighed. That would be my luck.
Oh, no, cara mia. Rain is good luck on a wedding day. It symbolizes fertility.
Nona paused, pursed her lips, and then glanced back at her magazine, muttering, but I suppose we already know there's no issue with that. I shook my head, amusement rising in me. I wasn't pregnant and wasn't planning to be soon. I was only 21. I wanted a couple years to walk around naked, have sex on the couch, and smother myself in my husband. But I couldn't say the idea of a mini Nico and me didn't make my heart fill with warmth. I at least had to learn how to cook first, though that endeavor was looking a little grim. Nerves vibrated beneath my skin, and I dropped into a chair. I rested my head on the back but then lifted it when Mama shouted that I was ruining my hair. The door burst open. Sophia stepped inside, holding two bottles of champagne, and squealed, "Let's get this party started!" A smile pulled on my lips. Indeed. A cold whisper brushed my back as my steps grew in sync with the soft piano notes. My clammy hands gripped my bouquet in front of me, and 300 pairs of eyes touched my skin, though for a moment there was only one pair I was aware of. A few rays of sun shone through the stained glass windows and stopped before his feet. Whiskey and flame. Sleepless nights, tattooed skin, white t-shirts, and rough hands. Love and lust and happiness. He was everything. The violins of Canon in D drifted through the church, and a shiver erupted at the base of my spine. I couldn't breathe as he watched me walk toward him. He could convey so much with one look. With an intensity powerful enough, I'd freeze in my spot, or warm enough to make my heart beat just for him. His mama might not have been a good parent, but without her, he wouldn't exist. And without Nico, and the way he was looking at me, well, that wasn't a world I wanted to be in. My heartbeats jumped and dived in my chest, and I broke free of his gaze so I could catch my breath. My eyes landed on Mama, who was sobbing. In sorrow or happiness, I didn't know which. To Papa, who gave me a small nod. Maybe things would be all right after all. Because if my father made me choose between him and my husband for good, I wouldn't have to even think it through. Pure bliss flowed in my veins. The only thing keeping me from dissolving into happiness was this heavy dress weighing me down. My eyes burned when Benito caught my gaze, his thumb and forefinger forming the perfect sign. Tony shot me a wink, and Jenny, who stood next to him in a flashy red dress, mouthed, "Oh my God." This time, I repeated the priest's words with conviction. This time, I burned under the timbre of Nico's voice. This time, I kissed my husband on the lips like I meant it. The guests whooped and hollered, and Nico chuckled at my enthusiasm. "You're all mine," I breathed against his lips. A rumble of satisfaction traveled up his throat, and he pressed another kiss to my mouth. He slipped his hand in mine and walked me down the aisle. As soon as we made it into the entrance hall, I blurted, "It was perfect." Nico laughed quietly, turned to face me, and brushed a thumb across my cheek. "You're perfect." I flushed and blinked at him. "You like my dress?" His hand ran to the back of my neck, and he kissed me deeply. "You're beautiful, baby." I swallowed the lump in my throat. To keep my blush from setting fire to my cheeks, I yanked his tie from his vest. "I like it. Pink suits you."
"Yeah?" he drawled. "And where's your pink?" A flirty smile pulled on my lips. "Wouldn't you like to know?" He fixed his tie and looked at me with an inquisitive stare. "I'll find out sooner or later." sooner than you'd like if you don't share. I rolled my eyes but lifted the hem of my dress to show him my light pink heels. There might have been more pink, but that was all he was seeing right now. He smiled, rubbing a thumb across his bottom lip. The commotion from the rest of the wedding party spilled into the room, and Nico grabbed my hand and pulled me to the front door. What are you doing, Nico? We can't leave yet.
We're not going anywhere, just outside.
I blinked. Why?
Need a cigarette.
My brows pulled together. You want to smoke right now?
That's what I said, wife.
He held the door open for me, but I paused before it as a rumble rolled across the dimming sky. Nico, it's gonna rain. My dress...
I'll buy you another.
I hesitated, but as his gaze pinned mine with insistence, my reservations melted away. The man was just too handsome. I told myself not to marry a handsome man, and what did I do? It was all my fault if I got rained on. I headed outside, lifting my skirts and watching my feet as I carefully made my way down the steps. As my train dragged across the pavement and through all kinds of dirt and grime, I was chastising myself for not knowing how to tell this man no a little better. My gaze lifted and my heart stopped. When my pulse started back up, it drummed in my ears and stole my breath. Amongst cracked pavement, the fading sound of sirens, and the taste of urban air, the yellow lights of a carousel blinked bright beneath the overcast sky. It sat static, alone, and beautiful. I walked closer, the train of my dress forgotten. My eyes burned, and a tear slipped down my cheek. Nico's familiar presence brushed my back. The first drops of rain fell from the sky, and they chimed like music off the golden carousel. His deep voice slipped into my thoughts.
Do you like it?
Do I like it? Slowly, I turned to look at him. Confusion passed through his eyes when he saw my expression.
What's wrong?
He brushed the tear from my cheek. The rain was warm and light, and I blinked it off my eyelashes. I love you, I breathed. His gaze burned around the edges, as the mantra of my pulse filled the space between us. Love me too, love me forever. He stepped forward until his tux brushed my dress, slid his hand to my nape, and pressed his words to my ear.
And I love you, Elena Russo.
Nico might have been a bad man, but what he lacked in morals, he more than made up for as a husband. He loved me forever. About the author. Danielle Laurie's novels incorporate morally questionable heroes, electric hate-to-love relationships, and sometimes sweet but mostly sassy heroines. She's written in both the fantasy subgenre as well as contemporary, but will never stray from romance. A normal day for her includes coffee, bodice rippers, and 1990s chick flicks. She lives in small-town Iowa with her husband, son, and too many dogs. We hope you have enjoyed The Sweetest Oblivion. Text copyright 2018 by Danielle Laurie. Production copyright 2021 by Bryant Street Schwartz. This production was produced by B Audio Limited, executive producer Jennifer Stoke, and narrated by Stacey Gonzalez and Evan Rowan.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.